The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Father Balu, thank you very much for allowing me to come here today. And I was almost late. I got lost on the way over here. But thanks be to God, everything worked out. But it seems like every time that we try to do something to promote devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Old Scratch does things to make it difficult for us. I rely heavily on technology to get around because I have a terrible sense of direction. And I basically lost my phone service. And so now I have a loaner, which I don't know how to use. And so anyway, I made it here in time. As Shakespeare would say, all's well that ends well. So I'm here today to talk to you a little bit about the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and this association of the faithful that I represent called the Guard of Honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's an association that was founded 151 years ago in France in a monastery of the Visitation, the same religious order that has a cloister here in our own diocese in the Berkshires, in the village of Tyringham. We have a cloister of Sisters of the Visitation there. And it's the same order that St. Margaret Mary Alacoque belonged to. She was the one who received the messages of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you will recall, in Paray-le-Monial, France, in the 1670s. This order was founded in 1610 by St. Francis de Sales and by St. Jane Frances de Chantal. Interestingly, there are several orders that bear the name of Francis de Sales, but he only founded one order, this order of cloistered women contemplatives. Today we're celebrating the memorial of St. Francis Xavier, one of the founders of the Society of Jesus, known today as the Jesuits. And it's providential that we're meeting tonight because the Society of Jesus is the one that has been entrusted with propagating the devotion to the Sacred Heart. And this is something that goes back to the days of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. She, you might recall if you've read her story, she had a very hard time with these revelations. First, she doubted their provenance. Her superior doubted them. Her own sisters in the monastery thought that maybe she was a little crazy or that she may be possessed by a devil or something. And she had a very hard time. In her anguish, she turned to Jesus and he said to her, "I will send you my special friend, my true friend." And a few weeks later, this Jesuit, this young Jesuit, who is now a saint, Saint Claude La Colombière, was assigned to her monastery. Now, he was a man who had a great promise from a worldly point of view. It was thought that maybe he would be a canon lawyer or a professor of philosophy or theology because he was such a brilliant young mind, and yet he gets sent to this monastery in the middle of nowhere, in Paray-le-Monial, which even today is hard to reach. It is a couple of hours away from the city of Lyon in the country of Burgundy, that region of France known, of course, for its red wine. he is assigned there because that's where Jesus wanted him to be. And he goes and he meets Margaret Mary Alacoque, and she opens her heart to him and tells him everything, these messages that she's been receiving, these apparitions of Jesus to her, in which he shows his heart of flesh to her. And he reassured her, and he said, "You're not going crazy. This is of Jesus. This is the work of Jesus, and this is something that has to be spread throughout the world." And how fitting that we have this beautiful gospel reading today from Mark's gospel, in which Jesus, preparing to return to the Father, is giving his parting words to his followers and telling them to go into the whole world and to proclaim the gospel to every creature. He renews this message some 1,600 years later in France, in this message to Margaret Mary Alacoque. Now, we know that it is of God, because if it was a human being who wanted to start a new devotion, well, I'll go to a bishop, I'll go to a priest who has access to the people. I'm not going to go to a cloistered nun who doesn't have access to people, doesn't get to talk to many people in the whole year. But the way this works out, Jesus sends Claude La Colombière to minister to the Sisters of the Visitation. He brings this message back to the Society of Jesus. It propagates throughout France. France is consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus some years afterwards. And then in the 1800s, Blessed Pope Pius IX hears of this, and he is delighted to become a guard of honor himself. He joins what was then a confraternity, and he promotes this message worldwide. His successor, Pope Leo XIII, in the year 1899, consecrates the entire human race to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Pope Leo XIII also was a member of the Guard of Honor, as was his successor, Pope St. Pius X, as was also Pope Benedict XV, Pope Pius XI, Pope Pius XII, and more recently, Saint John Paul II was also a member of the Guard of Honor, and he kept his hour of guard from 12 to 1. The hour of guard, what is that all about? That is what the Guard of Honor is about. The Guard of Honor is a very, very simple association. It's more a spiritual association than anything else. There are no dues or fees, there are no meetings that you have to attend or anything like that. It is a spiritual community throughout the world where we try to make reparation to the heart of Jesus. Now, you all know that the devotion to the Sacred Heart and the reason why Jesus showed his heart of flesh to Margaret Mary to begin with was to call humanity to make reparation to him. One of the many mysteries surrounding the Sacred Heart of Jesus is that it is a manifestation, if you will, of the whole program, as I like to call it, of the incarnation of God in our world. The mystery of God becoming a human being has many, 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 many layers of mystery that only God can peel away and help us to understand through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. What it is, in a nutshell, for us, it is our salvation, in a nutshell. But we have to remember something very important, that as St. Paul tells us, when the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, became a human being, becomes the man Jesus of Nazareth in the womb of our Blessed Mother, he stripped himself of all divine prerogative and lived as a man so that he could die as a man, because being God, God is immortal. So he becomes, he foregoes all of that divine prerogative and lives a humble life and dies a humble death, all for our benefit. But we have to remember one thing. Jesus was like us in all things but sin, St. Paul tells us. Jesus loves us as God, but he also loves us as a human being. And what does a human being want when a human being loves someone? A human being wants to be loved back. A human being wants to be loved back. And that is one of the messages of the Sacred Heart devotion. Jesus is saying to Margaret Mary Alacoque, look at this heart. Look at this heart of flesh. This is not an abstract concept. This is a real heart. This is a human heart. This is the love of God translated into a human language that everybody can understand. Look at it. Behold this heart which has loved men so much and has received in return little but coldness, indifference, rejection. But you, Margaret Mary, at least you can love me back. You can love me back. And that's what we try to do. That's what we set out to do. We love Jesus. That's why we're here this evening. We love our Lord. And we want to love him in the way that he wants to be loved. By attending Mass, by availing ourselves of the sacraments, the sacrament of reconciliation, most especially the sacrament of the Most Holy Eucharist, sharing in his body and blood, soul and divinity. But in the Sacred Heart devotion, we have this idea of making reparation to the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth, the one who loves us as God, but the one who also loves us as a man and wants us to love him back. Because think about it. The whole idea of Sacred Heart devotion goes back way beyond the 1600s and Pere Le Monial. That devotion can be traced back, at least, to the Last Supper. And if we look at St. John's account of the Last Supper, St. John, the beloved disciple, you know, what happens in his account of the Last Supper? That's something that he mentions almost in passing, but is something that no human being had ever done, and it's something where eternity, time and eternity, meet in a very unique and beautiful way, powerful way. Remember when Jesus says, one of you guys is going to betray me. Now, I'm paraphrasing here. One of you is going to betray me. So, of course, everyone's wondering, oh, who's it going to be? They're asking each other, etc., etc. John mentions casually that as they were reclining at table, remember, they weren't sitting on chairs. They were reclining on couches, eating in the Roman way. You recline sort of like the stereotypical psychiatrist couch. You lean on one elbow with the table in front of you, and with your free hand, you pick your food and you eat it. Excuse me. John is next to Jesus. He's talking to Peter, who I guess is on the other end of the table, and so he rolls back and leans his head on the breast of Jesus. He mentions that for a reason. If it weren't important, he wouldn't have mentioned it. What happens? What happens when a human being reclines his head on the heart of God? What happens when a human being, when his head, his mind, his brain come into contact with the heart of the Creator of the universe, with the heart of God-made man, with the heart of love itself? John, and nobody else, John is the one who told us later on that God is love. What did he encounter in that moment? The heart of Jesus is full of beautiful and salvific mysteries. It is an enormous treasure trove, and it is a shame that just as Jesus was abandoned by all, save for one of the 12, John, when he was crucified, who was there? Our Blessed Mother, St. Mary Magdalene, John, the beloved disciple. In different accounts, there are different people, but traditionally, we depict those three. They're the ones who are there when everyone else deserted him. In his time of great need, in his time of desperate suffering, of total abandonment, when even quoting the psalm, he cries out to his Father, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Think about that. Think about that. Love itself feels completely abandoned in a world that has sold itself to sin, in a world that has sold itself to self-centeredness. And love is there, nailed to a cross, and crying out to the Father, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? I am surrounded by people who gloat at me, who spit at me, who make fun of me, who mock me. Oh, so you're the Son of God, eh? Why don't you come down from that cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is love. That is love like we will never, ever experience, even in the most beautiful day of our lives. That is love, and that is the message of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That is the same love, that divine love expressed in human terms, that 1600 years later, Jesus will come to this humble nun in the middle of nowhere in Burgundy, France, and say to her, look, look at this heart of flesh. Look at me, I'm a man. I'm one of you. Everyone has forsaken me but you. At least you, you can love me back, and I know you want to. What a beautiful thing. We're invited to join with Margaret Mary and to make reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to the heart of love that has been ignored, rejected, spat upon, crowned with thorns, mocked, crucified. We are called to make up for that. Now, of course, there's nothing we can do to make up for it. But Jesus understands us, and he meets us where we are. He wants us to be in relationship with him. He knows our lives. He knows our sins. He knows our failings. He knows our busyness, our distractions, our anxieties, everything. But he says, you know what? I love you more than you'll ever understand. And I want you to love me back. And I want you to experience the great beauty of being in love with divine love. And to let that love enter into your heart and to transform you, to sanctify you, to transform your world, your family, your social circle, or if you don't have a social circle, your loneliness and your pain. I want to be everything to you, and I want you to offer me everything. So, one way we do this is through the Guard of Honor, which was founded by another Sister of the Visitation, Sister Marie of the Sacred Heart. Bernot was her last name, in the year 1863. And it's very simple. What this consists of, what we do is, we select an hour of our day. Mine is 4 to 5 p.m. John Paul II's was 12 to 1 p.m. And without changing what we're doing on that day, we offer that hour, I mean, without changing what we're doing on that hour, we just offer that hour to Jesus. And we say, Jesus, I offer you this hour. and I am going to make myself present at the foot of the cross during this hour. Whether I'm working or studying or driving the kids to school or shopping at the grocery store or changing the oil in my car or whatever, I don't have to change what I'm doing. I'm offering that 1 hour, and it's the same hour every single day, and I offer it to Jesus. And believe me, Jesus is going to receive that hour, and he's going to bless you. He's going to say, thank you. Thank you for responding to my call. Thank you for coming to me when I was abandoned. And we might think, well, how is Jesus abandoned when he's already in heaven and the crucifixion took place 2,000 years ago? Because Jesus is not only a man, he's also God. When we talk about the life of Jesus, we're not talking about the life of George Washington or the life of Napoleon Bonaparte or Julius Caesar. We are talking about God, eternal God, who enters into time and lives in our world. Jesus never ceased to be God. He gave up his divine prerogatives, but he always continued to be divine. Everything that Jesus experiences in the world becomes an eternal reality. That's why we have a devotion, for example, to the child Jesus. Obviously, Jesus grew up and he stopped being a kid, but his infancy, his childhood, is an eternal reality. So, if I, in prayer, make myself present at the foot of the cross, that's not just wishful thinking. That's real. Because the crucifixion, which took place in Palestine 2,000 years ago approximately, continues to be an ever-abiding reality in the eternal now and the eternal present. In Jesus, time intersects with eternity, just as it does in the Holy Eucharist, because the Holy Eucharist is him. This is one of the many beauties of the Incarnation. It manifests itself in so many different beautiful ways. So I would invite you today to please consider joining us in the Guard of Honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Pray. Ask the Blessed Mother. Ask her to choose an hour for you and fill out the membership form. Let us know which hour you would like to offer. I would invite you to do that. It's a beautiful way, and Jesus will enter into your life. We also have an additional hour if one chooses to do so. One can optionally offer a second hour at whatever time, and that's called the Hour of Mercy, which doesn't have to do with the 3 o'clock. It can be at any time that one chooses. And one can offer that optional second hour for the conversion of a loved one. And we all have loved ones that we would like to see converted. So I come to you today asking you to open your hearts to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's a devotion that's been neglected for decades, and Jesus is calling us back. Let's say yes to him. Let us say yes to love. And together with the Blessed Mother, with Mary Magdalene, with John, the beloved disciple, let us take our place at the foot of the cross and say yes to love 1 hour at a time. God bless you.